Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I'm going to be talking about financial abuse and control, and this is something that many people experience when they don't really understand how the money is managed in their house, or their partner tells them, you know, that there are various savings and plans and this and that, but they have no idea what any of them are. And there's also, of course, the situation where people think that they are being financially controlled, but in reality, they are opting out of understanding this stuff and the other person's trying to get them to. So we'll talk about both of those situations today, among others. Before that, I'll tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode, and there's about over 150 others, is you can co-create a happy marriage. So intentionally and mindfully, you can create a good marriage. And that's what a therapist helps you do. But I also talk about what that philosophy and that worldview looks like in that episode. All right. So I work obviously with many people who have money, as it is, as we are out of network, our practice. And I have coaching clients and therapy clients and people have money, you know. And that does not mean, though, that both people feel that they have money in any marriage. So over the years, I've worked with many people at all income levels, and this isn't even based on your income level at all. Of course, it does feel more egregious when there is like a huge income and one person still doesn't feel like they can spend any money. But generally, it's just as bad, obviously, at any level. So what does this look like? It looks like that one person, usually the woman, because men out-earn women, so men usually make the money and they know where it goes and everything, but not always. Obviously, as I've talked about a lot, I have a lot of clients, and increasingly 30% of women are primary breadwinners, and that, of course, includes single women, I think, or single moms, but either way, it's growing and growing and growing. So the number is eventually, I would imagine, going to equalize to who earns more in the relationship. And over the years that I've been working, I've seen more and more women earn equal to or more than their husband. Now, I've never seen that somebody makes way less money, but they're in full control of the money. You know, you hear of those situations, but that was more, that's something that I've really never seen, is that somebody who makes no money at all says, these are all of our retirement accounts, and there's this and this and this and this, and we're not allowed to do this because of this. But I am sure that that happens, you know, also. What I usually see is the person who makes more money, though, is in charge of how the money is dispensed and what accounts it goes into and what the retirement plans are and what the college savings plans are and what we can spend on and what we can't spend on. So this is the person that says, no, the thing that you want to spend on is stupid, but the thing that I want to spend on is smart, and has all of these post-hoc rationalizations why. And I talk, this is really linked to my podcast, when you can out-talk your spouse, because often there's a lot of reasons why, let's say, you know, the guy getting like a Luxe gym membership is more important than the woman signing up for her glass jewelry class or whatever. I'm just going to use that as an example of a female hobby for now on. you know why if you've listened to prior episodes. But the point is, one person does not get to make financial decisions, and they feel controlled, and they often feel like they don't know where the money goes, how much money there is, and what's happening with it. You know, and sometimes there's an allowance sort of situation where one person is given X amount of money into their account, and then they have to spend. I've heard things like they have to even buy groceries for the family out of that. And so they basically have no money that's just for themselves, because the other person makes them have to ask as a form of control. You know, so if she wants to go get her nails done, then she has to ask, because she doesn't have extra money, because she spent the money on the groceries and the kids' stuff and whatever. So who acts like this? Well, it's typically people who are super insecure. This isn't conscious to them, but they don't want the other person leaving them. And they feel like if that person had equal power, then that person might leave, you know, and the person may or may not, you know. I have no idea, but they're making it more likely to have an unhappy marriage because this person feels controlled. So they're pretty much self-sabotaging. Their main desire is to keep this person invested. And instead of doing it through being loving and attentive, they're doing it through control because they're very insecure. And frequently they grew up in a house where they got coerced and guilt-tripped and controlled by a parent. And so that's the way that they know how to keep somebody close, is to use these more insidious forms of control and even abuse. Abuse is like if somebody wants to, and any of it is really quite abusive. So like, let's say you want to go get your hair done, right? And he says, no, you're not going to do that. I don't want you to get your hair done. So you're not going to. That's not a good use of money. And then he goes and, you know, does whatever he does, because of anything that isn't buying food for the family or buying, you know, a new roof for the house or whatever is necessary. This just means like your needs are not as important as my needs. And I will use my preferences to control what you do. And therefore, I will not give you money for the things that I don't consider are valid. So some people use an allowance because that's how they divide things up. One person makes the money and then he gives the other person, it's the woman. I've never heard of a man getting an allowance, and I've not, but perhaps it happens. And I'm sure people will write in and tell me that. But has to happen in the world. It's a big world. But so she gets XYZ for her allowance, and like they're both okay with it sometimes because she mismanages money from her own account. Like that's like what she thinks, is that she has ADHD or she's like an overspender. Sometimes people are really addicted to spending. They're addicted to shopping, for example. I've worked with many people addicted to shopping. It's similar to being addicted to gambling or addicted to anything. You know, it's an addiction. It's a dopamine hit every time that you buy something. So some people ask their spouse to just only give them access to XYZ money, however much that amount is, because they're scared of how they will use it. That's a different sort of situation, and that's co-created. It does, if that is though the only way that that person is working on it, then that's pretty dysfunctional and enmeshed. It's making the partner the prison guard, and that person, if you yourself struggle with shopping or spending addiction, then you should be seeing a therapist to treat that so that you don't have to be like a child that is given an allowance by another, by the only adult in the room, which is your spouse, because that's not going to be good for your lives. You know, that's going to make you increasingly resent that person, and your self-esteem is going to drop lower and lower because it's obvious every day that you cannot handle yourself and that person can. So that is not a functional dynamic when there's only one adult in the marriage. There are other situations, by the way, where I've seen men who are begging the woman to sit down and look at all of the accounts in case they die or something, you know, and she won't. She's like, I can't deal with that. I don't understand money. Don't even show it to me. So that is not a situation that is financial control. And frequently men in that situation are like, this sucks. Like, this is an extreme burden. And I wish that I had a teammate who was sitting with me saying, okay, maybe we should, you know, put this amount away from our paychecks for retirement. And you know, how much do we need in retirement? And like, to somebody who grew up feeling that their parents were not a team, you know, and did see maybe financial abuse or control or substance use or fighting or whatever, they really have a yearning to be a team member, you know, to be like a team player with their spouse and to make big decisions together and to very much feel like decisions are made and there's like a system of checks and balances, because otherwise it feels like they are the only adult in the room and they are some sort of, it's like a parent-child dynamic and they don't want that. And then in some cases, and I have a podcast and a post, Why Women Are Scared of Making Money, a lot of women are told that they're just not good at math or not good with money, and they just have a lot of anxiety around money at all, and they almost prefer to put their head in the sand. A lot of younger women in particular, as you get older, you see, like, don't do that. You know, you want to know what's happening with your money. And it can be very helpful to go to therapy if you're a woman and focus on why am I scared of making money? Why am I scared of knowing about money? Like, what do I think is going to happen? A lot of people who didn't grow up with money, by the way, when they do finally, when their husband makes some or they make some, they don't know what to do with it. They like keep it all in their checking account or something. They don't know how to invest it. They get scared that they're going to make the wrong decision, that they're somehow going to fuck things up and be, you know, evicted or homeless or something that makes absolutely no sense based on the amount of money that's around, but made sense based on their childhood, you know, where financial instability was a thing. It's very hard to go from one socioeconomic class to the other. And I work with a lot of self-made people. And that definitionally they're going from one to the other, you know. And so, you know, there are so many ways that this manifests. And always what ends up happening, at least from what I see, for people who eventually come into therapy or, you know, people who are in my Facebook group, because you should always join my Facebook group. There's a lot of discussions about money and who manages the money and such in there. What ends up happening, as I said, is that the resentment builds and the parent-child dynamic becomes more obvious. And then particularly as people get older and the woman grows more confident, then she is, she says, where is our money? What is happening with it? I want to see it. You know, I don't even know what I would do if you left me, for example. Where are the accounts? Like, what's going on? And at that time, the man, if there were any elements of control, he could feel threatened, like she doesn't trust him, you know, like basically as though your child was saying you're being a bad parent, you know, because now the person who is dependent, the dependent is saying, I don't want to be dependent. I want to be independent. I want to know what's going on. So it's kind of the same effect on the marriage as like parenting a teenager is on being a parent, which can be very difficult as the teenager tries to individuate and talk back. And that's almost how it's perceived in these situations. Now, there are also situations where the lower earner spends more. That's for sure. Men don't tend to feel that that's financial abuse or control because it's so obvious that they get the paycheck and that they are, you know, consenting to how things are spent, you know, definitionally. I mean, they could have their paycheck routed into a different account, you know, if they wanted to. But these are situations where, like, the woman says, oh, I need, you know, let's say a new kitchen. And the guy wants to go, you know, take a family vacation. And she says, we don't have money for that. We only have money for this thing. So, like, of course, there's many situations where the woman is the stronger personality and the one that makes the decisions. And the man may or may not resent that, no matter who earns the money. But situations of financial abuse generally tend to be, I can use this money for what I want, and you cannot use it for what you want, especially things that are just for you. But there is also an element of control in general and who makes decisions, whether or not they have to do with money. And sometimes people do use money as a last resort, you know, when they don't know what else to do. So like if let's say a woman really did not want to travel because she's so anxious and germophobic, and she thinks that the kids are going to get sick if they go on a plane, well, she might say, I don't want to go because it's too expensive, you know, or anything like that. Or if she's scared that he's going to go get drunk and cheat on her on a boys' trip, she's going to say, we don't have money for a boys' trip. So that is a different sort of thing. And of course, a man too. He doesn't want her to get a bunch of new outfits because he's scared that that means that she's not into him, that she wants to go out with her girlfriends. A very preoccupied attachment man would say, no, you can't get a new outfit for going out with your girlfriends to your friends, to the mom's night out, because we don't have money for that. But in reality, he's threatened because she wants to look good when she goes out and he's not going to be there. So there are also many, many times that people use money consciously or subconsciously. This could be below the level of consciousness as a control mechanism. And it's because they have a different sort of insecurity that they don't feel as comfortable voicing. So if this resonates with you at all and you don't know how money is managed in your home and you realize that you want to, then that would be a discussion that you can have. There are, you know, you could go to couples therapy to deal with that. Definitely, the money is a big thing that is talked about in couples therapy. It's one of the biggest problems that couples face. It's like up there with like parenting, in-laws, money, sex. Like there's, you know, those are big, big issues. And if you do not feel confident having these discussions at first with your partner, then in individual therapy, you can figure out why you either do use money to control. Because some people are listening to this and they're like, ooh, that's uncomfortable. You know, like I wonder If that's what I'm doing, and I know that my partner has said that they don't understand what goes on with the money in this house and this and that, and why do we have money for some things and not other things, and blah, blah. So that could be something to explore too. 9 times out of 10, a parent used some sort of coercive, guilt-trippy control to make you stay close, and that may have backfired. You may be estranged from a parent that did that, but still you learn that mechanism of control, you know, so that's kind of your go-to. All right, well, I hope you guys found this interesting, and do subscribe, and I will talk to y'all soon. Have a great day, guys.